Well, if you noticed in your bulletin, there are actually two titles and two different scriptures, but don't worry, I'm not going to go twice as long. I don't think I can. The title in the bulletin is Are You a Rule Follower or a Christ Follower? But it could be titled, Are You Aiming at the Right Target? Everyone in here knows Matt Emmons, right? Matt Emmons? You guys don't know? I had no idea who he was either. For those of you who don't know, which is everybody, he was a marksman. He shot pistols, he shot rifles, he shot 50 meters, 25 meters, everything, you know. And in the 2004 Olympics, he made a mistake. And I want to show you that mistake here in a minute. But he basically hit the wrong target. He was going to win the event. All he needed was 8.1. But he got a zero and got eighth place instead of first. Now, before I show this video, I want to warn you there is a little language in there, but you'll find out when you see it.
相信美国的埃蒙斯不会再出现错误的这种失误发生漂亮出现反超一环反超0.1反超了0.1打出了10环哇不会吧不会吧埃蒙斯出现了埃蒙斯怎么只打出了4.4环出现再一次拿到了冠军哇太神奇了太神奇了太神奇了奇迹再次发生了
Yes, those of you who are fluent in Chinese or Japanese or whatever, you knew exactly what it was, but I think you can get the gist of the clip. Matt Emmons was the guy from America, and he missed the target. What happened was he was standing in lane 2, but he shot a target in lane 3. And he hit the target in lane 3, but he scored a 0. And so he got 8th place instead of 1st. So I wanted to show you that clip because in life there are basically two targets that we're aiming at. That are in our lives, in our spiritual lives. They're targets of following the rules and target of following Jesus. And a lot of people who claim to follow Christ are actually just aiming at the target of following the rules. They do all the right things, they say all the right things, but they're focused on the wrong target. In Matthew 23, Jesus has some pretty harsh things to say about those who are religious of the day. This is the Sanhedrin, and it was comprised of two separate groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were basically born into their faith. They're born into that position. They basically rode the shirt tails of their family. Now, I can remember a guy in my high school. He basically said and did anything he wanted to, and he was kind of a jerk to people. But he was like, you know what, I can do whatever I want because my dad's on the school board. So you can't say anything, you can't do anything about it. Well, that's kind of like what the Sadducees were. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. I was born into the position. I'm a Sadducee. They're very sad, you see. Pun intended. Then there were the Pharisees. When I looked up Pharisees in the dictionary, here's what I found, and it's almost exactly like what we see as people who claim to follow Christ, but they're aiming at the wrong target. Except for the first part, of course. A member of an ancient Jewish sect, they're distinguished by strict observance of the traditional and written law, and commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. A self-righteous person, a hypocrite. So we can see that today, and we can see the Pharisees today in our churches. they weren't born into their faith. They had to work hard to where they got. They had to study the Bible. They had to study Old Testament. Of course, that was the only Testament that was around then. So they had to study it. And they didn't like anyone who challenged what they thought, what they taught, or what they believed. They didn't like anyone who challenged them, mainly Jesus. You see, Pharisees were trying so hard to uphold the law, to say and do the right things, that they neglected their own spiritual lives. They're very concerned how they looked on the outside when they weren't focusing on Jesus, and so they were definitely aiming at the wrong target. They were standing in lane 2 and shot target lane 3. Eidelman says, to say and do the right things is not enough. Jesus wants not just the outside; he wants all of you. So he doesn't care what the outside looks like. He wants all of you. One of the parts of the definition of a Pharisee is great. It's a hypocrite. Does anybody know where the word hypocrite came from? What was that? Close. It was a Greek word used for actor, because in that time, females didn't act. It was all males, and so one person would be 10 different people in a play. They would put on a mask for every scene, and they would portray a different person, and so they were called hypocrites, because the person that they were trying to be on the outside didn't match who they really were on the inside. So they weren't concerned with who they really were. They were only concerned with their outward appearance. So the real question is, are we more focused on the inside, or are we more focused on the outside? Do we want others to see our mask or see the real you? Do you only want your church friends to see who you are from 9 to noon on Sundays, and maybe Wednesdays if you decide to come, or you want them to see who you really are throughout the week? That's kind of the question that we need to ask ourselves. A lot of fans who claim to follow Christ put on this mask that they want everybody to see. They put on this mask that they have it all together, when that's not the case. When you're truly following Jesus, those rules and things that are to be followed are a natural outpouring of your life. So when the inside is right, then the things on the outside will follow. Just like the song we sang, Inside Out. Here's Jesus' warning in Matthew 23:1-3. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They aren't who they say they are, and they don't do what they teach." Jesus calls them hypocrites several times when he addresses them. He calls them hypocrites, brood vipers, you name it, he calls them that. Many fans are like the Pharisees. They give their offerings to everybody, they give their offerings so that everybody can see. They stand on the corners praying loud prayers so that everyone can hear. They don't want to be seen at an R-rated movie because they say that it's bad, but yet when you go on their DVR at home, they have all these R-rated movies on their DVR. They say so that their what they say doesn't match with what they do, with who they really are. Jesus doesn't want us to wear a mask of we've got it all together if that isn't the case. He wants us to be real with each other, and he wants us to be real with him. He doesn't want us to pretend to be something that we're not. He doesn't want us to be a hypocrite. Jesus doesn't expect his followers to be perfect. He just calls them to be authentic. Hypocrisy is pretty simple. It's the act of pretending. Matthew 23:27-28 says, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look very beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. And in the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." And like I said, that's how a lot of fans are, a lot of people who claim to follow Christ but are only doing the things that they think will get them into heaven. They make sure the outside of the cup is clean so that people will recognize it, but they neglect what's most important. They follow all the rules, but they're not living the lives the rules are telling and saying that they believe. They aren't keeping it themselves. A lot of fans will associate following all the rules with following Christ. They will often think that following all the rules is the only way that they can have a relationship, when in reality it should be just the opposite. You know, like the song we sang earlier, to love you from the inside out. It starts on the inside and goes out. A follower's faith begins on the inside, and the things they believe will show on the outside by the things that they do. Some fans get caught up in making sure they are following all the rules that they forget to show love to God's people. Jesus addresses this to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:16-17. "Woe to you, you blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by the oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred?" What is better? Which target are you aiming at? When we start placing value in keeping the rules and upholding the law over showing God's love, we're aiming at the wrong target, and we're probably not followers, we're fans. We're fans of Jesus. I want to read you a situation in Kyle's book that really puts this point into perspective. And this woman was following all the rules correctly, but she neglected the more important matters at hand. "I was reading about a man named John who, dressed in blue jeans, walked into a bank to finalize a business transaction. The teller told him that the officer he needed wasn't in, and he would have to come back the next day. John said that would be fine and asked the teller to validate his parking ticket. The teller then informed him that, according to bank policy, she couldn't validate his parking ticket because he had not technically completed a financial transaction. John asked for an exception, since he had come to the bank intending to do business but wasn't able to. Because the appropriate officer wasn't in, the teller didn't budge. She said, I'm sorry, that's our policy, rules are rules. So John decided to make a business transaction. He decided to close his account. John's last name was Akers. He was the chairman of IBM, and the account he closed had a balance of $1.5 million. This qualified as a financial transaction, and the teller was able to validate the parking ticket. So she was right according to the policy, according to the rules, but Jesus tells us that there's something more important at hand than the rules. Loving people. Showing his love to people. That's what happens, unfortunately, when our churches are filled with fans who love keeping the law, love keeping traditions rather than loving people. We must continually keep ourselves in check to make sure that we're not loving laws over loving people. If we make rules more important than people, then we're probably just fans. We're not following Jesus anymore. We're following rules. We're hitting the wrong target. So which target are you aiming at? Are you more focused on the outside and keeping all the rules so that you look good? Or are you in love with Jesus? Are you following Jesus? See, this is what happens to a lot of fans. They get burned out on trying to keep all the rules and keep up appearances that they're trying to earn God's favor. But there's good news, and that Jesus gives us a way out of that. In Matthew 11:28-30, in the Message, it says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." So Jesus doesn't want us to be just a fan. He wants us to truly follow him. In Eidelman's book, this next point kind of hits home in how we're raising our children. Are we raising our children to love the church, or are we raising them to love Jesus? A few months ago, I was speaking in Houston, Texas. A good-sized man with a good-sized belt buckle came up to me with tears in his eyes. He began to tell me the story of his prodigal daughter. That's an inside joke. How she went to college and totally turned her back on the faith. As soon as he started the story, I knew how it would go. I've heard it so many times. Even the details seem predictable. But when he finished, he didn't ask me why she was doing this or what had gone wrong. He wasn't looking for an explanation. Instead, with one sentence, he put his finger on what he thought happened. Here's what he said. "We raised her in church, but we didn't raise her in Christ." You hear what he's saying? We raised her to look right on the outside, but didn't teach her about the inside. We taught her to keep all the rules, but she never really had a relationship. We made her feel guilty for the wrong things she did, but somehow she missed God's amazing grace. We taught her to be a fan of Jesus instead of being a follower of Jesus. When I read that, I was just kind of taken aback. You know, do we teach our kids to love church, or do we teach our kids to love Christ? Is that what we're doing as parents, as spiritual leaders of children? We taught her to fall in love with the church. We taught our children to fall in love with the church, but we never taught her to fall in love with Jesus. Is that the target that we're aiming at as followers of Christ? Is that what we want for the next generation? The next question that we have to answer to ourselves: are we self-empowered, or is your life spirit-filled? So for some of you, that might be a pretty tough question to answer. For some fans, they're very comfortable about talking about the Father and the Son. But last time I checked, that's 2/3 of the Trinity. They're very uncomfortable about talking about the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? When Jesus ascended into heaven, he assured the disciples that he had to leave so the Holy Spirit would give them power. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the Holy Spirit had to come after Jesus left. A lot of people who claim to follow Jesus try to do things on their own. And they think that they don't need the Holy Spirit. They think they don't need anybody else, that I got to figure this out on my own. I got to do this on my own. Okay? When they get overwhelmed with life, they don't have the Holy Spirit to help them get through the curveballs that life might throw at your way. This weekend was pretty crazy for our family. Or this week, actually. Monday night, I had us at the church, as did Wednesday. Friday, we went to Grinnell to visit Amber's family. Saturday, we had to be in Hubbard by 3 for Aiden's last soccer game. He scored a goal. So it was crazy busy. And on top of that, I was to get the sermon ready, work on a video, trying to play with 4 kids, mow the yard, and it seemed like everything else was just hitting me at the same time. That's just kind of an example of how busy our lives can be, and an example of how we need help. The disciples were pretty disappointed that Jesus was leaving them. Imagine what it would be like to be in their shoes. You were with Jesus every day, every night. Imagine how you would feel when Jesus finally said, "Hey, guys, I'm leaving you. I have to die. I have to do this." You would probably feel pretty crushed. Well, Jesus didn't see it like a disappointing thing. He said in John 16:5-8, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking me where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate," which counselor, comforter, encourager, "the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." When Kyle Idleman was in seminary, he did some research on how many times it was referenced that God was with man. And he found that all the references were in the Old Testament. They just weren't in the New Testament. When Jesus left the earth, he sent his Holy Spirit. So he wasn't just with us, he was in us. And so in the New Testament, after he sends the Holy Spirit, God is now in us. The Spirit is in us. It's a small change in wording, but it's a huge change in our lives. That we're not just with Jesus, but Jesus is in us. Jesus could only be with his followers, but the Spirit lives in his followers. In the days of Moses, he had to go meet with God on the mountain because the Holy Spirit had not come. Now the Spirit is inside of you. You have access to communicate with God wherever and whenever you want. In Ottoman's book, he talks about us meeting Moses face to face, and we'd probably be like, "Moses, what was it like when you were on that mountain when you saw God face to face, when he gave you those commandments?" And Moses would say, "You know what? I still had to go up the mountain to see God. What's it like having God inside of you? What's it like being able to have God in you?" A lot of fans try to do things on their own even after they've had the Spirit in them when they first became followers. Galatians 3:3 says, "How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" And sad to say, that's what a lot of followers do. They try to do things on their own. So who in here thinks about every breath that you take? I had this last week because But it just comes naturally to us. It comes so naturally that we don't even think about it. It's just there. If he started concentrating on something else, like I was thinking about playing basketball, if I started concentrating on playing basketball and I forgot to breathe, I wouldn't be playing basketball for very long. In the same way, we don't even have to think about the Spirit if we're truly following Christ. The Spirit lives inside us. Will you take a minute to do a little exercise with me? This is something that we used to do in our youth group when I was growing up. Why don't you close your eyes for a second? When you breathe out, really concentrate and put your palms down. Think about all the things you would like to get rid of. Could be any number of things. Could be smoking. Could be swearing. It could be anything that might cause you to stumble in your relationship with Christ. Just think about that. When you breathe in, turn your palms up. What do you want more of in your life? Do you want a better relationship with others? Do you want be a better father? Do you want to be a better mother? Do you want to be whatever it is? Any number of things. When you get rid of, you can open your eyes now. When you get rid of the CO2 in your lungs, you replace it with new, fresh oxygen so that your heart can pump blood rich with oxygen through your body so that you can live. In the same way, you need to make more room in your life for the Holy Spirit. Rid yourself of all the things that clutter in your life. Rid yourselves everything that you can think of that would take up room in your life so that the Holy Spirit couldn't be with you, couldn't live inside you. I want to close this morning by giving you some encouragement from the Holy Spirit. This comes from Eidelman's book. Okay. It says, fans eventually get burned out on trying to live the Christian life on their own efforts. If you are depending on your own strength to follow Christ, you will soon find yourself drained and defeated. Jesus promised his followers that the Spirit would come on them in power. Followers of Jesus understand that it's a journey. They were never intended to make alone. Instead, we keep in step with the Spirit, and he supernaturally gives us the strength and power we need. One of the challenges in talking about followers being filled with the Holy Spirit is that being filled with the Holy Spirit is often thought of and talked about in every way while following Jesus, while it seems to be more physical. I wanted to find a better way to explain or illustrate what it looks like when those things come together and a follower is filled with the Holy Spirit. I asked my Facebook friends to finish this sentence. By the power of the Holy Spirit, ... Within 24 hours, I had over 100 responses. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I finally forgave my dad. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I lost 150 pounds and quit smoking. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I have forgiven my ex-husband for his infidelity. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we have adopted 2 boys from Ethiopia. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I overcame a drug addiction. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I overcame a gambling addiction. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I overcame a sex addiction. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I overcame a shopping addiction. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I overcame an eating disorder. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I am 4 years sober. The list goes on and on. Story after story from followers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Fans have a hard time telling stories like that. What's your story? So as I close that chapter, I thought, what is my story? What do I need to get rid of in my life? When I put my palms down and I breathe out, what is it in my life that I need to get rid of to make more room for the Holy Spirit? as we close today, I've asked I've asked Amber and Dan to come up and sing this last song. It's called Empty Me. It's a very simple song, but it speaks an enormous message to our lives. Will you stand with me as we sing this last song and as we make this a prayer in our lives as we go out into the week? Empty ourselves of us so that we can be filled with you, so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit that you've left here on the earth to complete your work, so that you can be living inside of us and not just with us. God, help us to be more dedicated followers of you, not just know about you, but know you intimately. And Father, we thank you. As we go from this place today, just be with us in all our activities that are going on today. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name.